Jake, Josh, who's heading up there after he congratulates everybody, and I have been doing, for those of you who are here for the first time, some tag team preaching. And we thought today would be a very nice day to practice on Jake. Not.
Yeah.
All right. Just for fun. We have a lot of fun with each other, and we enjoy. There we go. Yeah. That'd be very nice.
Yeah.
That's right. We enjoy playing around with each other. We have been in the book of James, and when I thought about James this week, I thought James is like sometimes when I've gone on a trip with a little tiny piece of luggage, but I wanted a lot of things in it. And so you roll things up very tightly, and you cram them in there, and you finally get it all packed in there, and you sit on top of it, and you fold it in so it can be shut. James is like that. James is a book that is cram full of information. And I will tell you right now, there's no way three guys can preach all the good things in James just by ourselves, all right? We can't do it. But you can read it very carefully and very slowly and very thoughtfully and prayerfully, and you can mine gold in that book. So we encourage you to do that. Today we're on chapter 4, and that's where we're looking today. And we're just going to pick a couple of things out of chapter 4. One of them has to do with pride, and the other has to do with humility. And so we're going to dig deeply into those two parts. But there are a lot more things in chapter 4. We talked about this week, and you know, we're just getting some of the things. You get the rest, okay? So if you look up on the screen or you open up your Bible, here's the verse we're going to look at. He gives us more grace. I read another translation than that says he gives a greater grace. Spend some time and just think about, what is it like for God to give you grace? What is it like for God to give you greater grace? You can spend some time on that and it'll be good. This is what the scripture says. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. We're going to talk about the proud. We're going to talk about the humble. First of all, we'll talk about the proud. And Josh, why don't you kind of give us some insight about that?
All right, check this out, guys. First of all, I have you know that this is single-handedly one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. This, if you just do this right here, your life will change today. Let me unpack it for you real quick. I used to be confused about pride and humility. I used to think that pride was walking around with your chest out and talking all hotshot about yourself, and it is that, but it's not all that. That's not all it is. And I used to think that to be humble, you had to walk around with your lip out and your head down and say, everybody's better than me, woe is me, I'm so horrible. And it is that, but that's not all it is. Let me tell you what it is real quick. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride says, God, I know that your word says to live this way. I'm going to live my own way. That's pride. That's called arrogance before God. He said he shows favor to the humble. The humble says, actually, Jake said it really good the other day to me. We were having a talk, and Jake said it like this, and it was awesome. So I'm just going to tell you what he said. When there's God's way or my way, I pick God's way. I don't think I can say it better than that. That's beautiful. I know what God's word says. It tells me how to live my life. And I can choose his way or my way. I choose God's way. That's humility before God. And it makes sense to me why my life was so horrible before I met Jesus was because God was in opposition to me. That's what the Bible says. A lot of people think, well, a loving God wouldn't oppose anybody. Don't kid yourself, man. You need to read the Bible. It says that when you think your way is better than God's way and you live that way, that God is opposing you. That's why nothing works in your life. That's why you're miserable. It's why you're empty inside. The moment that I changed my mind and I said, no, God, your way is the way that I'm going to live, I started living in God's favor. And I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But first, here's Bob.
All right.
That was like an infomercial.
Boy, I like it. Very nice. Let's just really be clear. Pride It can be being puffed up. But there's nothing more arrogant than looking God right in the eye and saying, I know you have told me to do fill in the blank, and you walk away and do your own will. And it fits for Josh in his former life, and it fits for Josh in his present life, but it also fits for an old preacher in my life. I can still today walk right up to God's will and have it right in front of me, and in my pride, I can walk away and not do it. There's nothing more proud than that. There's also nothing more destructive that we can do for our lives, nothing that will break us more. So there's a lot in chapter 4 that talks about that. We're only going to look at one piece, and Josh is going to cover that too.
Let's read this, guys. Here's what it says. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? I would section this out into two pieces. This can work in your home life with your spouse. I'll just have to read it again for you. Hey, isn't this what causes quarrels and fights among you? Is you trying to get your own way? Yes. Absolutely, Josh. How'd you know? Well, God knew before it. It also works in your relationship with God. This is what causes separation from you with God. Is you're trying to have it. You understand God said it a certain way, and you want it your own way. You want your desires to be fulfilled and not God's. And it's pretty self-explanatory. There you go, Jake.
Come on. Okay, so when we're talking through this idea of wanting one thing 1 minute and another thing another minute, and how that causes all these fights and quarrels. Well, if you jump down to verse 8, God gives us this awesome promise, but he clarifies it. He says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So right here, God promises us, if we take a step towards him, God's going to step towards us. God promises us that he's always going to be faithful to show up. He's never going to stand us up. We're never going to try to spend time with him with all of our heart and have him just push us away. The problem is most of us will take one step towards God. You know, maybe we pray in the morning or read our Bible, but then we give in to laziness, and we're kind of grumpy with our family, and then we're afraid to do something God told us to do later in the day, and then we give in to something selfishly later on in the day. And we wonder, why do I not feel close to God? I spent time this morning reading my Bible, or I prayed. Well, if you took one step towards God, but you took three or four steps away, then you're double-minded. That's what this is talking about. You've got to get your life cleaned up. For those of you who don't know, one of the random hobbies that I have, I was thinking about this week as I was thinking about double-minded, is I like to bake. So I make like cookies and banana bread and random stuff like that. And we have a lot of variety in the three of us up here this morning. So
Josh does not bake.
Yeah. So so when I'm baking, though, my wife can tell you I'm a fairly messy person, maybe all the time, actually. But when I'm baking, I get stuff scattered all over the place. I'm not very organized. And one of the examples is these are the recipes I use most often, and they're just on a piece of like notebook paper, and there's a whole bunch of recipes on it, and it's all folded up, and there's egg splatters
my
and
stomach's
other
growling.
Stuff on it. Yeah, it probably smells like banana bread, actually. But so I'll just fold this up, and if I'm doing, you know, chocolate chip cookies, then I'm looking at this side of it. I'm baking stuff, okay? So the problem is I'm moving different things around, and every once in a while it gets flipped over like this. And so I'll be mixing some stuff up, and I'll be like, huh, that's different than I remember. And I start mixing things, and I realize I've done half of one recipe and half of another. And that can still work out sometimes because it's mostly cookies and stuff on this sheet. So it's not too hard to you know, correct that if I've added too much sugar or something. But imagine if on that sheet I had chocolate chip cookies on one side and beef stroganoff on the other side. And so I'm mixing in cocoa and some of this other stuff, and it's not going to turn out to be mole or anything like that. It's just going to turn out gross when it comes out of that oven. And if I look at that oven, I get all mad about, I was trying to make cookies. I followed the recipe. Why did it turn out to be this meaty, gross thing? It's because I followed half of a recipe and then another half of a totally opposite recipe. And all of you, if any of us ever did that, you'd think, man, that person doesn't belong anywhere close to anything in the kitchen. But we live our lives that way. We follow God's recipe half the time. And then we follow our own recipe the other half of the time. And we don't feel foolish about it somehow. Somehow we're surprised when gross things start to come out of our life. So as we're thinking about what does it mean to be double-minded, you've got to follow the whole recipe that God gave you. You can't follow it for a few minutes or a few hours and then jump back and forth to something else.
You know, one of the things I like a lot about Jake's preaching is that he tells stories that sneak up on me during the week. And this one snuck up on us earlier because both Josh and I wanted some pumpkin bread after you got through preaching the early service. And we had to have donuts instead. But beyond that, for real, let's think about where our lives are. And think about, are we giving God part of our life on Sunday? Everything feels good. We're in a nice environment. But on Monday, as we get a little further away and a little further away on Tuesday, maybe a little further away on Wednesday, are we like Jake with half of a recipe for part of the week and then half of the recipe for the rest of the week? And I have no idea what chocolate chip stroganoff tastes like, but I guarantee I don't want any of it. But I also don't want what I get when I give God half of my week and not all of my week. Half of a day, but not all of the day. And you and I both know how tempting that is. Part of that is, and I'm going to pass this over to Josh in just a second, part of that is because we still have stuff in our back pocket. Little things that we keep from our former life, and we just tuck it away. And when I think about double-minded, I think about having my hands up raised to God, but I also have something stuck away here. See, at the root of our pride is this. We don't believe God can give us a good life. We don't believe that God can throw a good party. We've never thought about the fact that God can throw the best party of the whole world. So we keep the party tucked away in our back pocket because if God doesn't give me what I want, I can do it myself. All right? So, Josh, you got a great saying about emptying your pockets. Why don't you go ahead and talk to us about that?
Yeah, I remember a time in my life where I actually stole that saying from Ricky Beach, and I know I shouldn't be stealing, so I'm giving it back to him right now. What we mean by it is I lived this life where I believed the intellectual belief was there, but I had everything stuffed away in my pockets that I wanted to do that God said don't do. And the reason why we talk about it is this is what happens. This is exactly what will happen. You'll come to church. You'll feel great. You'll feel the power of God. You'll walk away. It'll all be gone. That happened to me for years. I wasn't living my life in the power of God. And so that's why we call it emptying our pockets. Is I always kept something in it for myself. Like I want to come to church and talk a lot about Jesus and God, but I want to keep this right here for me. What happens is you leave and you go, I don't really understand what everybody's so excited about. You don't feel the power. God doesn't ever get to lift you up. And you walk away and you really think that you tried God. And you didn't try God. And we'll talk in a second a little more about what will happen when you do that.
All right, so the bad news is we're full of pride. The good news is if we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. Let's look at verse 10 and read that. It's a great verse. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We're going to take that two ways. So the pride is I look at God and I say, God, I know more than you. Isn't that the dumbest thing in the world that we could do? And yet, how many times this week have I myself, the guy who's preaching this sermon, done that very thing? Sorry, God, you just hang around up in heaven. I got this covered down here on earth. How wrong that is. So to humble ourselves before God is to submit to God, and Jake's going to talk some more about that.
Yeah, before we get to verse 10, if you look back up to verse 7, it's telling us how do we get there. And It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Some people will have these almost excuses in their life about, my week went so bad because Satan was really after me or really, really holding me down. Or they'll maybe fill in the blank with some other evil force, some temptation that's holding them back. And while evil is real, and there are evil forces against us, this verse tells us we can always bust through whatever evil scheme there is against us. There's an easy formula. It said if we submit to God and we say no to whatever evil is going on in our life, it says that we're going to have victory in that. So submission, what does that mean? It means real simply to say yes to God, to give up the right to choose ourselves and to say, God, I'm going to do it your way. When God says jump, you say, how high? Okay, so it's very, very easy to say that. It's very easy to say, even when you don't feel like following God, follow him. Some of the easiest words to say, and you probably all have heard that at some point in your life before, but we don't do it. And the reason we don't do it, I think, is because as humans, we're creatures that kind of go up and down like this. Bob had an illustration of this the other day, kind of the roller coaster thing. Everybody feels like doing the right thing sometimes. You know, Alex Gordon, this jersey that Josh has got on right now, I'm sure he doesn't always feel like working out or practicing. So how does he win a gold glove? How does he be such an amazing player? I'm sure he has to play baseball or do things for baseball even when he doesn't feel like doing it. He has to submit to that regimen. When we're with God, there's going to be days where we wake up and we really want to help that neighbor across the street, where we really want to work on our marriage, where we really want to spend time with a kid who doesn't have, you know, a good adult in their life. There's going to be times we work shoulder to shoulder with God and we're just on the same page and it feels great. There's going to be other days where the last thing we want to do is the right thing, where all we want to do is be selfish and to lust after something or to spend something on our own pleasure and to hurt somebody else. We really want to get that last word out to that person arguing with us. Imagine if on your lowest moments when you emotionally just don't want to do what God wants you to do, imagine if in that moment you said no to yourself and you gritted your teeth and said, even though I don't want to do it, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to walk away from that conversation. I'm going to go open the door for that person. I'm going to go help that person on the side of the road. Imagine if your lowest moments with God were when you just didn't feel like doing it, but you still did it. If you have that formula with God, if you say, I'm going to submit to God all the time, even when I don't feel like it, you don't have these low points anymore where you take five steps backwards and you walk with God. Now that thing that you felt so bad that day becomes the day that you really grow in your faith, that God really opens the door and uses you in a more powerful way. So instead of flunking that test, you actually get better at following God. You actually get closer at following God. So that's why submission is so important. Instead of failing, that failure becomes an opportunity to get better with God.
That's good. Thank you. If you look at that verse, this verse has resonated with me all week long. And here's how it came down to submit and resist. And I will tell you right now, it's really easy to preach it. It's really hard to live it. And so as I was praying through this, guess what God said to me? Submit means submit. Yes, Lord, I give this to you. And resist means resist. And I suggest we try it. Verse 10 gives us kind of the payoff for that. Let's look again at verse 10. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves. You remember, pride is I look at God and say, I'm not doing it. Humble ourselves says, yes, Lord, I submit to you. I am doing it. The lift you up is the fun part. Josh, talk about lifting us up.
Oh, yeah. This is the payoff right here. You know what it looks like when God reaches down and takes a human being and lifts him up out of the pit? I'll tell you. Yesterday, my friend Matt Andrews gave me a call and he said, hey, Josh, can you come give me a hand? And I was like, well, of course I will, Matt. And so he said, can you bring Dan's big trailer? I was like, absolutely. So I showed up at Matt's house and he goes, I got to move this stuff over to my new house. And I'm like, well, I ain't never seen your new house, you know. So So we loaded up all the stuff, and we got a trailer full of stuff, and we go over to Matt Andrews' new house. And I'm thinking, man, that's a nice house. Like, that's some freaking, hey, I've known Matt for a long time, dude. We grew up together and was junkies, drug addicts, went to prison. God, this kind of house ain't something that guys like us usually end up with, man. It's not. And I was impressed, and I was like, man, as I was leaving, I thought, man, dude, man, God, you really did a work in that dude's life, man. And I thought, you know what? He's got something in common with Matt, it's Matt Andrews, Brian English, Matt Smith, Eric Gossie. All these guys got something in common. They all just got married. They all just bought new houses. They walk around this place with big old smiles on their faces. And if you talk to them, they're full of God's joy. Can I get a hallelujah? How does that happen? Is that just random? Is this God just picking people random? No, these are the dudes that submitted their lives. These are the dudes that humbled themselves and said, God, you know what? I'm used to doing it my way my whole life. Didn't turn out too good. Today, I'll do it your way. All the way. I'll do it. And God said, then I will lift you up. Man, when you see somebody that has been lifted up by God, not by yourself, not by your own strength, but when God reaches in the pit and grabs you and lifts you up, boy, it's amazing, man. I tell you this because I want you to understand something, man. We don't get up here and talk about submitting to God so that you got a checklist of rules to go by and this is what you I want you to do this week. I tell you this so that God can lift you up. And today, you can start right here today. Is there something? There was days where those four guys I named had stuff in their lives. And God said, get rid of it. And I will lift you up. And those guys got rid of it. Sometimes he said, I want you to do this. And sometimes he said, I don't want you to do that anymore. And they said, yeah, I'll do it, God. I love you that much. And God said, when you obey me, I'll lift you up. I tell that to you guys today, man. There's stuff in our lives that have to go for God to lift you up. There's stuff in your life that you have to start doing for God to lift you up. There's people in here that your life's a mess and your life's empty. And you don't know what it is, man. It's that Jesus is missing. I'll tell you how to do it. I don't like to turn it into a bunch of spiritual hocus pocus. I'll tell you this. If your life's empty, get to this church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Get plugged in. That's a really good place to start. I promise you. I promise you if you'll do that, dude, God will begin to fill that up. You'll make relationships with people, and God will fill that up. There's other people here that your walk's just stale, dude, that you've been saved for a long time. You've been doing all the stuff. You're going through the motions, and your walk's just stale, man. God told you to love the broken people, man. I tell you that this church on Wednesday night is filled to the rim with broken people, man. You've got a chance to obey God yourself, man. And that's where it starts right there. There's my pitch.
All righty. Well, I just want to say a word. When we have two services, and sometimes I get charged up in the first one and I want to let it out in the second one. When we preach this in the early service and it says, and he will lift you up, that's a promise from God to you. And I don't know where you are in your life today, and I don't know what you think about yourself today, but this is a promise from the Creator of everything to you. And he says, if you will create the atmosphere by no longer stiff-arming God in the face and saying, no, I'm not going to do your will, but rather humbly opening up your hand so God can work in your life, he promises you he will lift you up. It will look like your life for you. It won't be a duplicate of somebody else's life. Everybody here is different. God's lifting you up will be different. But here's his promise. He will lift you up. And so don't miss that today. Don't walk out of here and say, well, I want those nice words. Get in the plan, get in the program with God, and see that he is true for you. Okay? Jake's going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to ask you all, just go ahead and stand right now. The worship team's going to come, and then you respond as God speaks to you. There'll be a bunch of folks up here who'd like to pray with you.
God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you offer us more grace. But God, this same passage talks about if we've been trying to live both sides, that we need to get upset about it, and we need to make a change. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would be thick in this place. Convict us of what we've done. Show us the steps to take to move forward. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.